At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of Yard. Hope things are well with you. A little bit later recording than I wanted to be, just kind of how it works out sometimes. But a lot to report, a lot to recap from yesterday's Mississippi State football media opportunity. The news today is Mississippi State baseball will open exhibition play on October 18th, that's a Saturday. They'll face Florida State at the Pensacola Blue Wahoos Stadium. First pitch scheduled for 1 p.m. We don't know if that's going to be the first Brian O'Connor game, even though it's an exhibition, or if there will be a home exhibition. We don't know that yet. We don't know. So we'll see how things kind of move forward with that. But Mississippi State football will be in Gainesville that afternoon too. So you can't double dip. You know, I guess technically you could. You'd probably need a helicopter and have to leave before the baseball game was over. But if you're not going to Gainesville, to the Swamp, to see football, you've got an opportunity to see baseball down at Pensacola. Maybe you want a fresh shrimp po' boy right from the Gulf of Mexico. You can get that knocked out right there. Yeah, you can. But yeah, that's something to be mindful of. Somebody asked on the jeanspage.com message boards about will there be more State fans there or Florida State fans. I don't know for sure, nor would anybody. But Florida State is at Stanford that weekend, so it's not a home football weekend. So, you know, good chance there are some Florida State fans there. And should be a very fun event for those of you that plan to attend. But again, that's October the 18th, 1 p.m. Central. So be planning ahead for that. Cool thing, right? It is. Also of note, too, we may be done in the portal. We may be. Maybe. There's not a lot of value left in the portal and talking to some people. There's not really a lot of SEC caliber guys that were DSAs that went in for this extended portal one-time exception thing. They've got till August 5th. To enter those DSA guys, and so that's something to kind of consider too. I don't totally rule out adding anybody else, but right now I can say I'm not expecting a particular player, but you never know what could happen here in the coming days. We don't start school until August 20th, right? So we've got about 4 weeks to kind of figure that out, and we may end up taking somebody late. You never know. But as of right now, there's just not much cooking. You know, we'll see. And I think we're probably good from a position standpoint. I'd love to have another arm, maybe a left-hander, you know. And it's just like that whole Frank Menendez thing. And again, there's so many people out here that want to jump in the lane. They do. And reported that we were the favorite to get former Florida pitcher Frank Menendez. We never offered him. We never pursued him. We didn't offer him a chance to come visit. He's headed to Miami. There are rules in place about interconference transfers. This is one of those situations that would require a waiver. As soon as that made the rounds, I went to our page and our website, and I wrote an article about how those SEC rules work. It would require a waiver from the league office, as a reminder. And so there's a lot of red tape involved with all that, and you may not get enough juice for the squeeze, especially for Menendez. We wish him the best, but he's a guy that's coming off a season-ending injury. I don't think that's a scenario where he could help us this year. So best of luck to him, and best of luck for those that you know, continue to be the walk-on experts. But nevertheless, that's where things stand. We're still monitoring a few things, but I can't say that anything is emergent. And even if we don't add anything else, 64 Analytics has State ranked third now. We've been first most of the portal season, but after Davian Hickson signs with the Dodgers, which was expected. Even when he committed, he was a draft risk, a known draft risk. But nevertheless, that drops us to number three behind Georgia and Tennessee. And absolutely cool with that. And if memory serves me correct, I think six of the eight teams that made Omaha, I think that's right, or maybe it's five. Anyway, nevertheless, right? No, five of the eight top eight national seeds all had top eight portal classes. So if recent history repeats itself, then that would speak well of Mississippi State, right? And I think most people that follow baseball would agree that this Mississippi State lineup should be one of the best in the country. Brian O'Connor and the staff still have to figure a lot of things out in fall ball. We'll get 27 practices, figure that out, and we'll have some scrimmages that you all can attend. But wanted to kind of get that out there first before we get too deep into football. As you guys know, with football practice kind of picking up, there's going to be a lot more football news. And really grateful, you know, in that respect, too. We have needed something as a fan base to feel good about. The coaching change in baseball, I think, has been a unifier, and that's nothing against anybody, okay? That's nothing against Chris Amonis, Gautreau, Cheese, Roger, none of those guys. Listen, we love them all. We do. But there have been some very strong opinions the last 3 years about the direction of this baseball program, and I believe the hiring of Brian O'Connor has really united us as a baseball school. You don't see many dissenting opinions out there at all about baseball right now, because I think most people expect us to get a good return on this investment. But all that understood, you know, we had the coaching change and obviously a lot of portal stuff, the draft stuff. That has kind of eaten up a great deal of the summer. You know, those dog days of summer when there's just not a lot going on. We've had a lot to follow. We had a good portal class, a really good portal class. We get through the draft, for the most part, unscathed outside of a couple things we were expecting. So there is a lot to be excited about as it relates to Mississippi State baseball. So we're going to cover everything in the fall. We'll cover anything that happens between now and then, kind of keep you abreast of all those kinds of things. But, yeah, you're going to see, obviously, a big transition into football as the first official football practice takes place on Thursday. Jeff Lebby will speak after that. And unfortunately, I won't be there. I've got another event that I simply could not put off. And I'll talk more about that in the final segment of the show. But, you know, our full crew will be there. Of course, Mike Nemeth will have a transcription. Dave will have video for you folks that would rather watch than read. We'll have all that taken care of. And so Jeff Lebby will speak and kind of kick off everybody's, you know, coverage of Mississippi State football. And again, very busy day. Very thankful for Jeff Lebby and Brandon Langlois and everybody involved with Mississippi State Football Communications making 12 staffers available yesterday. If you'd like to read those articles, you can do it for free at Gene's Page. If you'd like to watch those videos, you can do that for free at jeanspage.com too. Again, in all the big room stuff, we just make free. If everybody has it, we're not going to slap a VIP label on it. I'm not going to do that. It's just stupid, right? And so you can go check it out. And, of course, we always want to be your one-stop shop for Mississippi State coverage, whether you're a subscriber or not. And we got a big special coming up, too, so be mindful of that. Be looking for that in the days ahead, a chance for you to jump on board at a discounted rate. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We have loved them from the beginning. At least I know that I have. And, again, Hey Dad and I were some of the first customers in the doors, man. And both of us walked away as like, you know what? This place is going to make it. And they have, and they have become an institution here in Starkville. Three great locations now to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. In addition to that, find your own favorites. You know, when I go in there, more times than not, I'm thinking burger. But sometimes I go for lunch. You know, and I want to maybe eat that heavy for lunch. And so I get those Sloppy Joe sliders or I get that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. But I always get it with ranch dressing. I'm from South Mississippi. It's a requirement. But I like to get that chocolate shake to go. And sometimes, you know, when it's a meal, right, not just like lunch. Because I like to eat for enjoyment, not just survival. I want to enjoy my meal, right? Sometimes it's a dining experience. You get the appetizer, you get the entree, and you got to cap it off with a palate cleanser. You get one of their great desserts. And sometimes I eat it there. Other times I bring it home because I know a little bit later, you know, before I, you know, settle down for the evening, I want something a little bit sweet. We don't keep sweets in the house here. But when I treat myself at Bulldog Burger Company, I enjoy myself. You need to enjoy your meal too, whether it's a lunch with business colleagues, perhaps a night out with friends or family. You can have an adult beverage. You can have pretty much whatever your heart desires. It's a dining experience at Bulldog Burger Company. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, as we mentioned, very busy day yesterday. A lot of work. We're happy to do it. Happy to do it. Yeah, because, I mean, July, as I've told you guys before, I mean, it is a grind in July for us as well. I mean, I joked with somebody yesterday. I said I was about ready to start, like, writing articles about which players had their favorite Smurf or whatever, you know. I mean, it's just there's a lot that you run into. And even in our industry, you know, people write sometimes these pithy, clickbaity headlines and stuff just because, you know, we're trying to get engagement, right? So I share that with you because everybody in my industry, I can assure you, is very grateful for the opening of football season, not just because we love football, but because there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, right? There's a lot to cover, and you guys, your appetite for football coverage is really kind of unsurpassed. We're a baseball school. We love men's basketball. We love women's basketball. We kind of love everything we're winning in. But at the end of the day, we, you know, football is kind of the, you know, the straw that stirs the drink. We got to take care of football because football takes care of everything else. And whether you're a men's basketball fanatic, you know, or a Diamond Dog supporter above all, everybody kind of unites under the maroon and white banner for football. You know, you never hear anybody out there that says, yeah, I don't really care about football. Everybody cares about football. And so, you know, we're happy to provide you with great coverage of Mississippi State football. And again, just kind of working through this thing from yesterday, I'll give you a few, kind of a few highlights, I guess, from some of the things that were said. And again, there's not a lot of stuff. Like, they're not going to come up there with, like, an injury report or, you know, depth chart or anything like that. It doesn't happen. It's kind of just kind of a general overview, kind of recapping the summer and just kind of where things are. But we wanted to get this one up first. And Dave Murray was like, why? While the interview sessions are going on, Dave is over there transcribing the Q&A with Coleman Hutzler. So we had that up basically before the full media opportunity ended. And so I just want to hit a few highlights with Coleman, and then we'll talk about a few other guys, and we'll get into a top 10 list, and we'll talk some recruiting stuff, and might even talk a little soccer stuff, but and some other things, too, of importance. But right out of the gate, I asked Coleman, you know, about, you know, his kind of his thoughts. And let's kind of put it, say it for what it is. Now, I don't know if Coleman Hutzler is ultimately responsible for everything that went wrong last year. But at the end of the day, he is the defensive coordinator. And the buck has to stop with him. Now, he inherited much of that roster, right? And so Jeff Lebby made the decision, controversial in the eyes of many, to keep Coleman on. And about middle of the year, I began hearing that, hey, you know, Lebby's going to stand on the table for Hutzler because it just don't feel like we have the horses to compete on defense. And I don't know that we do now, but I feel a whole lot better about the look of our team after watching us play this spring, especially up front. And so I asked Hutzler about that. Just kind of give us a general overview. Hutzler, obviously I'm excited about the additions we were able to make in January and through the recruiting cycle, both portal and high school. You get those 15 practices in spring ball and get a feel for where you're at and what you have. We've got a ton of improvement to make through fall camp, but I am very excited. William, end of quote. I am too. I'm very excited too. And I, like many of you, feel like I need a couple of games before I can let myself trust it, right? On paper, it looks like we've improved. On the eye test this spring, you know, watching some practice sessions, it appears that we've improved. And it appears that we certainly have SEC caliber size. We have some experience as well. You know, some guys that had kind of tore it up on a G5 level. We got some other Power 4 guys that maybe have a lot of potential, but not a lot of production. And so on paper, it looks good. On the practice field, it looks good. But I need to see these guys in action. And I don't know how much we're going to tell about Southern Miss, right? I mean, we play that game. You know, it's going to be a first game for them, right? And unlike our situation, for the most part, it's a new scheme on both sides of the football. There's a reason the old adage exists about you make your most improvement between game one and game two. Yeah, because once you see the dress rehearsal against an actual opponent, you kind of understand where you need to kind of tweak a few things. So we're going to get them early. And again, I don't know how much we're going to learn about our team during that game. And that's not in any way disrespectful to Southern Miss. I do think they're going to be improved. I think their whole situation is going to be better. They got a nice influx of transfers too, including Jeffrey Pittman, who played at Mississippi State. He'll come out with his head on fire trying to play against us. But I just feel like I need a couple of games. You know, I feel like we'll learn a little bit against Southern Miss. We'll learn a whole lot more about what we have and how we're probably going to, you know, measure up against SEC opponents when we take on Arizona State. You know, the Alcorn State game, you're not going to learn much from that either. But I feel like maybe 2 to 3 weeks into this thing, you know, the first month of the season in many respects may define the season. But I want to trust. I want to believe. But I'm just a little hesitant, as you all are as well, and I see a lot more of this than you do. And so I think it's okay to be concerned. It's okay to kind of take a Missouri show-me approach to all of this. It looks good. It sounds good. Let's hope it is good. And so I think it was Sam Sklar from the Ledger who kind of asked about, kind of went wrong last year. And Coleman said some things that I thought were pretty much on the nose. He said, we talk a lot about effort, technique, and execution. Those are our three core values as a defense. I was proud of our effort throughout most of the year. You look at it from game one to game 12, our effort never wavered. To be able to do that through a tough season says a lot about our players, their identity, and what they believe in. The technique and the execution is where we've got to make those improvements. And so that's been our focus through the offseason. You look at the offseason as a chance to reflect on the season before and attack the things you need to attack, and really technique and execution were the biggest part. End of quote. I absolutely agree with that. I thought we played hard last year. I didn't think we gave up last year. I think we kept playing. We were just outmanned. And so I don't think it's ever been a question of effort. And I think it says a lot about not just our kids, but about our coaching staff. It had been easy for a lot of those guys just to kind of check out. But they played hard. I mean, you go back and look at the Egg Bowl. I mean, how many times did you think in that ball game, we got a chance to win this game? Anything could happen in the battle for the Golden Egg. And granted, we were probably a little more emotionally ready for that game than they were, right? But the reality of it is I thought for the most part we kind of took the fight to them. We had the big, you know, lapse on the long 89-yard touchdown run by Ulysses Bentley. But outside of that, you know, we really made them earn it. And so the effort was good, and it had been so easy for many of those guys, especially the transfers and guys not from Mississippi, to just kind of go through the motions in that game. They didn't. But the reality of it is we talk about the execution and talk about making those, you know, fine-tuned improvements with a technique. You know, you cannot win the Kentucky Derby with a mule, okay? I don't care how much you coach him up. I don't care what kind of diet you put him on. There is just going to be some very inherent physical limitations of the mule. The mule is not going to be able to outrun the thoroughbreds. And that's maybe an oversimplification of a euphemism when it came to Mississippi State's defense last year. But to put it kind of bluntly, and it's not breaking news here, we all see it for what it is, we didn't have the horses. We didn't have the horses. And in many respects, we were just kind of lining up.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
And getting in the chute, getting ready to go run the Kentucky Derby, and we didn't have any thoroughbreds on defense. And so, again, it doesn't matter how well you coach. It doesn't matter how well you can teach. There are just some players that just do not have the ability to play successfully at this level. And that's where we were. Offensively, we had some dudes. Not enough of them, but we had some. We had a few on defense, too. And why do you think Stone Blanton and Isaac Smith made all those tackles? Those guys were dudes. Absolutely were. But they had to make those tackles because they didn't have enough dudes around them. That's an important part of this. All right, let's take a look here and talk a little bit about what Phil Lordholt had to say. Had a chance to speak to Phil after the media. I joked with him a little bit. You know, he played for the Vikings. And I joked with him as he was leaving. I said, hey, tell me why the AFC North is the best conference. He goes, oh, you mean the NFC? I said, no, I mean the AFC. I'm a Steelers guy. So we kind of talked a little bit in the hallway about some of that too. But one of the things that I think is so incredibly important, and we've harped on this a little bit in the offseason, because I tell you guys, when we went out there in the spring, I talked to some of our personnel people, and I was very honest about that. I was like, man, most of these offensive linemen are my height. Yeah, I'm 6'2", right? You want to be a war daddy in this league on the offensive line, unless you're a center, you better be taller than 6'2". And it was tough. Now, we have transformed the look of that group. We don't get the benefit of spring practice with a lot of these newcomers that showed up in the spring portal. But nevertheless, we got some dudes, okay? We got some guys, and it's going to be up to Phil to kind of put these guys where they need to be. And what's interesting about that, too, is, you know, even some of the guys that Cody Kennedy signed out of the portal went back into the portal in the spring. And I don't think that was technically all their decisions, right? I think a lot of that was just they didn't fit what Phil Lordholt expected or needed in his offensive line room. And that's, again, nothing against those guys, but it's just kind of like you're not going to win the Kentucky Derby if you continue to go out and sign mules, right? And, again, that sounds almost disrespectful. I don't mean it to, but we're just going to kind of call it like it is, right? That offensive line group that we lined up with in the spring would have had us going 2-10. I mean, it's what it is. It absolutely is what it is. And Lordholt goes out and signs some guys, and it's just interesting to me what things look like, right? I thought I had this discussion with somebody else earlier. When Sylvester Croom was here, former All-American offensive lineman at Alabama in a much different era, Coach Croom kind of recruited offensive linemen in his image. You remember J.B. Grimes is our offensive line coach. If you remember J.B., very, very short-statured man. You know, so he's kind of looking up at everybody. Now, granted, they did a good job, you know, getting some guys in those final couple classes. They get Derek Sherrod. I mean, and you didn't need to be, a great developer of offensive line talent to understand what a star Derek Sherrod was. But you bring in Phil Loadholt, a guy that's played at the highest level, a guy that's, what, 6'8", 6'9"? It's ridiculous, man. And so here we talked about the spring portal and the additions that he made. We talked about getting bigger. And Zach Owens coming in from Colorado, 6'6", 340. Blake Steen coming in from Virginia, 6'6", 340. Brennan Smith coming in from UTEP, a center, 6'3", 320. Jaquan Bolden out of Purdue, native of Canton, Mississippi, 6'6", 340. Javen James out of Akron, 6'5", 320. The measurables are a lot more consistent with our SEC peers. And here's what Loadholt had to say. I definitely wanted to bring some bigger bodies in. As one can see, I have an affection for big guys since I am one myself. We were able to improve our size, and I'm glad we got the opportunity to do that. I'm excited to see how they help us this fall. Well, I am too. Because, again, I don't know that I can hammer this point home enough. What we had on the spring practice field from an offensive line standpoint, with rare exception, I mean, Luke Hulk, Jimothy Lewis, Jimothy Lewis, Albert Reese, you know, didn't play this spring. He will be good to go tomorrow. But outside of that, we had some guys out there that just were not going to be able to play up to the standard. And that's not everybody, but I'm just – there are some – McKinnon Boone's a guy, too, that we like a lot, too. Of course, had the ACL tear last year, so very careful with him. But no matter how well we may have recruited on defense – and no matter the fact that we had added fluff and made some great additions to our wide receiver room, if we had tried it out there with that offensive line group, it may be curtains for everybody. That's how different this group looks now. And again, media have first chance to see the new group in uniform tomorrow. Bump, we always love hearing from Bump, right? Pretty interesting comments from him, talking about how, you know, things have kind of changed in wide receiver group or whatever, you know. And you know, he may mention that he thinks this is the favorite group he's ever had, which I think is interesting too. You know, it's just it's interesting to me that Bump has had so many good guys, you know, kind of come in and out of the program, but to hear him be this excited, and if you know Bump, like, Bump's one of those guys, too, that is always going to be full of enthusiasm, but there is an authenticity to what he says. You know, I think that's a significant thing. But, you know, just kind of talking about everything kind of coming together for this group, he said, I've had some really good rooms. This may be my favorite just because they love ball. You have to pull them off the football field. Aiden Williams will sit outside and run routes all night if you let him. Jordan Mosley the same exact way. These are the guys that you say, whoa, instead of giddy up. You have to pull them back to protect them from themselves because they'll overtrain. They just love ball. You see there's trust in there. Whether it's guys that have been here or not, they've played at this level and made plays. And then you add in the young guys, it's a really good room. I don't think that we're ever going to have a problem signing wide receivers as long as Jeff Lebby and Chad Bumpus are here. Jeff Lebby's offensive scheme is very wide receiver friendly, and Bumpus, a guy obviously that has worn the uniform, you know. And I thought he made a great comment yesterday too, kind of talking about the whole thing with Kevin Coleman leaving. You know, basically said, you know, Kevin left, but the numbers are going to return because that position itself, you know, absolutely, the numbers don't leave. Here's the quote. Absolutely, the numbers don't leave. They just go to someone else. And then he says, I just talked to Kev. He just had a little girl, so congrats to him. I still talked to Kevin. I love him to death, but he wanted to go home, right? And we talked about this when he left. The position is always going to produce in this system, no matter if it's him or Ricky Johnson, Anthony Evans, it doesn't matter. The guy for that role would get these opportunities and go out and make plays. Coach is going to line you up in position to be successful. Now all you have to do is go do it. And so that's, I think, a big thing that's important to understand. And we talked about that a little bit recently, you know, about the jump that Kevin Coleman made last year. He had a better year last year in all statistical categories combined compared to what he had done previously in his career. And so I'm not going to sit here and say that Kevin Coleman is a product of the system, but he is a guy that truly benefited for being in the right system because Jeff Lebby knew how to use him. Right? Does that make better sense to you? And so if Jeff Lebby can take Kevin Coleman, a guy that had a ton of potential but not a much production, and make him a near 1,000-yard receiver on a 2-10 team, don't you think he can do the same thing with other players as the offense becomes a little more competitive? You know, those are just some of the highlights from what we saw on Tuesday. And, again, you can watch those videos or read all those articles for free. They're all on all my socials, or you can just go to Gene's page and dial them up and read until your heart is content for free. But I have a tremendous amount of confidence in Chad Bumpus. I know many of you do as well. And the thing that I think about is, you know, the recruiting piece. You know, we're kind of going back to the euphemism about the Kentucky Derby. When you have run in the Kentucky Derby and won, maybe you won a few heats, maybe you didn't win the whole shooting match, then you know what other thoroughbreds look like. You know what other Kentucky Derby competitors should be. So Chad Bumpus knows this, because he's worn the uniform, played the position, competed within this league. He knows what's required to be successful at Mississippi State. And so if Bump is excited, then I'm excited. And you should be excited. And again, as long as Jeff Lebby is here chunking that football around, dialing things up for distance, score from long, as he says, I think it's a good marriage between Bump and Lebby. Now, I don't get to go out there and watch Bump coach a lot, so I don't know, right, what he's like in game or in practice. Don't know. But I know that his exuberance and his passion for this university and for this football program is apparent on that practice field, because he understands the standard and he understands what it took to win during the Dan Mullen era. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So again, go check out that content for free over at jeanspage.com. All right, time for today's player of the day. We're going to go with Blake Shapen. As it's practice eve, we need Blake to have a good year. You know, Blake, of course, has had some injuries and that sort of stuff. He's worked exceptionally hard to come back and be your quarterback, and he is your quarterback. And so I know everybody is pulling for Blake, but Jeff Lebby kind of handpicked him, you know, and so – we need him to play up to his potential, so we offer him our most humble and unwavering support. The player of the day brought to you by Close with Blair. That's Blair Chandler, my friend. Had dinner with him earlier this week. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. That's Blair's personal cell number. So you can call or text today. Why do you need that number? Well, if you're looking to buy a home, rather than overthink it, because it can be a very intimidating process, get his 24 years of expertise and know-how working for you. He can get you to the closing table when so many others perhaps can't. Yeah. He knows how to construct these loans. He knows the underwriting guidelines. He knows what they're looking for, what they're going to append, what they're going to ask for, you know, how to get the right appraisal, right? He knows all the ins and outs of the mortgage industry. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo, maybe you need to refinance and consolidate some debt. I don't know your needs, but I know that Blair Chandler can meet them when many others can't. That's closewithblair.com. Be sure and check it out today. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's your guitar shop. C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com, a Mississippi State owned and operated guitar shop in Lake Jackson, Texas, run by Mississippi State folks. I've met the owner. I've broken bread with the owner here in Starkville. They still have family in the area. The grandsons help run the shop. Yeah, it's a family business. It's a Mississippi State family business. So if you're just getting into guitar playing, if you're a seasoned professional and you're looking for a supplier that'll give you quality products at a discount with great service before, during, and after the sale, how many times do you order something online and something's not as it should be and you can't get a hold of anybody? And how many times have you said to yourself, I just want to be able to get somebody on the phone. Well, you can at Koleto Guitars, because your satisfaction is guaranteed. Great expertise, great selection of name brand products. Whether you're looking for an acoustic, electric, a classical guitar, or any accessories that go along with that, I've got a great guitar stand that I'm very happy with. You need a case, gig bags, whatever you need to protect your instrument or to fine-tune your instrument, you can find at Koleto Guitars. Now, we'll give you a promo code, too. It's BSR. You know what this stands for, right? But that's going to get you 10% off your purchase price just by using a promo code. You can use it in person. You can use it over the phone. You can use it online. Now, in addition to that, that promo code is going to get you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. It's going to get you free shipping. And they're going to make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. Be sure and check them out today. Koleto Guitars, the Mississippi State Fans Guitar Shop. All right, we continue our Ozzy tribute. Ozzy's funeral was today. Got to see the footage of the all of the memorabilia, flowers, pictures, notes of support at the Black Sabbath bench there in Birmingham. Very heartbreaking photos of Sharon and the Osbourne children. And I've seen some people that be very critical. Why would you post these pictures? Well, you post those pictures because those folks need our support. You know, their loss is obviously more significant than ours, but we feel like they're part of our family and we share in their grief. And not to mention, some people have unfairly maligned Sharon Osbourne for many years. And she loved Ozzy. He wasn't just a cash cow to her. He was the true love of her life. But that's the thing I've learned about online stuff. It doesn't matter what you do, what you say. There's always going to be somebody out there that needs a friend that's going to write the pithy comment, just needing somebody to like it. You know, what a pitiful existence. But we're up to the Zakk Wylde years. Now, Gus G did one album with Ozzy, so he won't get a top 10 list. We'll do one more Ozzy list on Friday. But Zakk Wylde, the longest running guitar player in the Ozzy Osbourne solo career, and he had three different runs. He was the replacement for Jakey Lee, and at the time, he didn't look anything like he looks today. You know, today he looks like he's the leader of a bike gang, but he used to be the pretty boy and made the debut, of course, with No Rest for the Wicked. But here are my top 10 Ozzy Osbourne songs of the Zakk Wylde era, and I have tried to work in every album that Zakk played on, so some of this may not match your list. But I suspect that once we get to the top five, maybe even top six, you're going to agree on the songs, but perhaps not the order. But again, we're kind of working our way through this. And thanks for all your positive feedback about the Randy Rhoads and Jakey Lee list. More comments about Randy Rhoads than Jake, which is interesting. But here we go. Zakk Wylde, top 10 Ozzy Osbourne songs from the era. From the Down to Earth album, it's Gets Me Through. Really like the song. It's maybe not as popular as so many others, but I think the vocal delivery is great, and of course Zakk always delivers the goods. From the Patient Number 9 album, which was the most recent album, and supposedly there's going to be another album released next year. It was an album that was nearing completion, and I'm confident that there will be some B-sides and oddities and things like that that get released over time, probably a new box set before it's all said and done. But it's a track called Parasite. It's the third track on the Patient Number 9 album. Of course, Jeff Beck did some things. Tony Iommi did some things. Zakk played on most tracks. But this is probably my favorite Zakk Wylde track from that album. Number 8, and I love this one. I think this lineup was amazing. I really do. I think the No Rest for the Wicked lineup was among the best. I love the Jakey Lee lineup. I know many of you guys do as well. Randy Castilla, of course, God rest his soul, was a huge part of the Ozzy Osbourne experience. And it's just interesting, you know, when you go back and again you think Blizzard and Diary of a Madman, Bark, and Ultimate Sin, and then in 88 No Rest for the Wicked dropped, and you got Bob Daisley on bass and Randy Castillo on drums, and of course Zach on the guitar, and the Ozman Cometh on vocals. But one of my favorite tracks on that album, and I have many, I love this album from start to finish, but it's Breaking All the Rules. And there is like a little offbeat drum part after the guitar solo that's always kind of, I don't know, kind of bothered me. It's kind of a slip beat there, but it's one of those things that just didn't come off, it wasn't a clean segue. And I always thought, man, this is Ozzy Osbourne. It should be the best. And I've had some other people in music say, no, 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 that's part of the beauty of the song. This is kind of getting back on measure. I don't know. But absolutely love the track. Breaking All the Rules, man. Great, great track. And Zach absolutely destroys the solo. One of the better Zakk Wylde era albums is Osmosis. Most of you know this one. This was more of a deeper track, I guess. But the thing about my generation that's a little bit different than most, like we didn't have Apple Music, and right, so, and it was such a commitment to go buy a new album. You know, they ran, you know, $10 and eventually like $15, $16 for a new CD. And so you didn't, and I bought a bunch of them. I got over 600 CDs. But this is one of those tracks that I think shows the majesty of Ozzy Osbourne. And incredible, incredible vocal on this. It was the third single. It didn't catch as high as some of the other ones did. But Ozzy lets us know, I don't ask much, I just want you, right? It's a rock song, but it's kind of a love song too. Number six, also from Osmosis, it's a song that I've told my family I won't play it at my funeral. It was the second single off the Osmosis album. It's See You on the Other Side. Absolutely love that track. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I just love the song. And I thought about that significantly when Ozzy passed away. A lot of people that referenced that track in their social media postings. But yeah, Ozzy, we will. We'll see you on the other side. Number five, this song probably rings a chord with many wrestling fans. And I absolutely love it. I think it's some peak Zakk Wylde rhythm playing on this. I mean, it's just one of those songs when you put on in a car, you got to set the cruise control. If not, you might exceed the posted speed limits. It's I Don't Want to Stop. That's off the Black Rain album. And that's one of those Ozzy albums, to me, there's a little filler on, a little bit. Musically, I think it's great. Lyrically, I don't think it's one of the strong points. All right, number four. The lead single off of the Osmosis album, we're talking about this one a lot, just because of the fact I think it's one of those albums that if you don't know Ozzy, this is one you probably need to know. Because a lot of people, you know, really thought that, you know, grunge was going to kill off all the metal albums. You know, that's what people thought. And that's the thing, you know, Ozzy, of course, a guy that in many respects was kind of unfadable. But Osmosis came out in 95, absolutely destroyed the charts. And again, it just goes to show you how great Ozzy was. You know, it's a multi-platinum album in the U.S. alone. Pretty significant. And went to the Billboard 200 chart, peaking at number four in the post-grunge era. You know, again, it goes to show you what, you know, MTV couldn't kill Ozzy Osbourne. They just couldn't. They tried. And Ozzy was so precious to so many people. People were like, you can do whatever you want to, but we're going to go watch Ozzy. But it's Perry Mason. Who do we want on the case? We need Perry Mason. Kind of a silly song in that respect, but musically, absolutely a masterpiece. Number three, and you probably thought this would be number one, and I could have made a case for this, and we've talked about this extensively with the, you know, Back to the Beginning concert, and of course with Ozzy's passing, but it's Mama, I'm Coming Home. And a lot of people took the video of Sharon and the children visiting the shrine today and put that music over it. And it's a very sad and poignant moment. But, you know, lyrically, this song is a very personal one for Ozzy. And I think many of us probably have felt this way in many respects, maybe at different points in your life, but there's just so much authenticity in this track. And I'm gonna share a little bit of it with you. Of course, it's a power ballad, but you know, that's from Ozzy's, you know, sixth studio album, No More Tears. But it's just, again, it's one of these songs you look at and it's like, it's timeless in that respect. And the part here, and again, a lot of this kind of came out when all these rumors were about Sharon and Ozzy, you know, maybe not staying together. And so it was very poignant and timely in that respect. But it starts out, you know, times have changed, times are strange. Here I come, but I ain't the same. Mom, I'm coming home. Time's gone by, it seems to be, you could have been a better friend to me. Mom, I'm coming home. You took me in, you drove me out. Yeah, you had me hypnotized, lost and found and turned around by the fire in your eyes. I mean, it's just poetry. It is. Incredible songwriting. And again, when he sang that song and struggled to get through the lyrics, and Zach had to kind of jump in and help him out at the back of the beginning show, it again, it just kind of felt like that Ozzy was telling all of us goodbye. And it's one of those things that I suspect I'll remember forever. Number two, and again, we're going back to No Rest for the Wicked. And yeah, it's one of things too, like Ozzy has said many times before, you know, Ozzy Osbourne was an artist, and Ozzy Osbourne was a guy that was a character. You know, a lot of people think, you know, so many things happen. You know, it's not like when you, like you're part of a circus, you don't want wear your clown outfit in your everyday life. But, you know, this No Rest for the Wicked thing, you know, one of his daughters is part of the one that's screaming at him on the cover. And it's very, you know, cryptic and gothic in many respects, but it's one of those albums that I think kind of solidified the fact that there was a lot of staying power with Ozzy Osbourne. You know, he had survived, of course, the Randy Rhoads tragedy, and then the departure of Jakey Lee, and people thought, well, this is it. He's going to fall off. Well, they fired Jake in 87. They come roaring back in 88 with No Rest for the Wicked. And it's interesting. I was on a show years ago discussing the Hugh Freeze thing on a radio station. I believe it was out of Atlanta, I think. Atlanta or Birmingham. But the guy asked me ahead of time, is there any musical bed that you'd like? Is there, like, to bring you in, what song would you like? And immediately I picked Miracle Man from Ozzy Osbourne. Of course, that's a song about Jimmy Swaggart. You know, Miracle Man, Cold Busted, you get it. But the lead single on this album, and when it came out, Miracle Man was first, but so I was wrong there. But Crazy Babies came out, and that video came out, and all of a sudden, we kind of knew that Ozzy's legacy was going to be okay because he had done it again. He had found another amazing guitar player. And I think Crazy Babies was an incredible introduction in many respects for Ozzy fans. You were like, you know what? This is going to be just fine. That was released in February of 89, prior to, you know, the pre-grunge stuff. And, of course, by this time, Soundgarden had already sold a bunch of records, despite what other people will say. But number one, and I think this is probably the song that Ozzy would sing to us. It's No More Tears. And I have had many people share with me in recent days, fellow Ozzy Osbourne fans, listeners to this show that have reached out and said, you know, dude, you know, the No More Tears guitar solo is one of the greatest in American rock history. And I absolutely agree with that, even though Ozzy's British, you know. But the reality of it is heavy metal was America's music. And No More Tears with Mike Inez, again, great lineup. I mean, just incredible musicians. And again, I give Ozzy a lot of credit for that. He knew how to pick them. But that album comes out in 1991, right? When so many people were saying, hey, it's over. It's over. The whole 80s rock thing is over. Well, it wasn't. Guys, do you know that No More Tears is an album right now? This is like prior to Ozzy's death. Sold 5 million copies in the United States alone. 5 million. And I don't know what that's going to do between now and then. And I don't know if you saw this the other day on the rock charts, Crazy Train is number one. Ozzy had, what, 7 songs in the top 10? Pretty incredible stuff, man. But The No More Tears album, phenomenal. And it was difficult for me not to put more songs from this album, like Road to Nowhere. I absolutely love that song. I love it. But I thought, you know what? I want to represent every Zach album. Road to Nowhere is amazing. And then Mr. Tinker Train. Of course, it's one of those songs that has a sudden stop to it. So you're like, what? Is my CD scratched? What happened? Who disconnected the aux cord? You know, is Bluetooth working? But on Mr. Tinker Train, you, man, Zach absolutely kills it. Absolutely kills it. And then I Don't Want to Change the World was a song that Lemmy Kilmister helped kind of bring together. And then again, Mike Inez on bass. Of course, Mike eventually left to go with Alice in Chains. And interestingly enough, one of the guys that we're going to talk about on Friday, Ozzy put together a covers album. And we're going to rank the top 10 songs that Ozzy Osbourne covered. The guitar player on that album, Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains. Yeah, how about that? And again, so much of this collusion between MTV and the record companies, Ozzy Osbourne was just immune from that. There were so many people out there, because even as music began to change, and it wasn't an organic change, as soon as change was manipulated, as Ozzy Osbourne said, you can't kill rock and roll. And Ozzy was a guy, too, that wasn't a caricature of a rock and roll star. He was arguably the biggest rock and roll star that's ever lived. And to think that Ozzy Osbourne, despite all of his critics, despite all these people saying that, you know, he was losing it, continued to turn out great music. And it's just incredible to think, in an era where the record companies and the record industry were working against his genre, he was still selling millions of records. And again, it just shows how special he is to all of us. There would be no heavy metal if there wasn't for Ozzy and Black Sabbath. And it's so interesting, too. Like, I've watched all these interviews that popped up, and I love them all. And there's so many you miss along the way, because we get oversaturated at times. But about, you know, the naming of Black Sabbath, and how Tony Iommi one day says, isn't it weird that people will pay money to go watch horror films to be scared to death? And he said, well, maybe that's our thing. What if we wrote scary music? And again, that's all part of the art. That's all part of playing the role. And then ultimately, you know, the Boris Karloff film and, you know, Black Sabbath. And, you know, to make a long story short, there are a lot of people that had literal interpretations of so much of this stuff that was really metaphorical. You know, it's an act. It's something that strikes a chord with people. And at times, Ozzy did things that were kind of laced with hyperbole to get a reaction to kind of keep them in the news. And there's so much of that that happens. And, you know, I saw the interview with Gene Simmons shortly after Ozzy died. And Gene said that he couldn't shine Ozzy's shoes. That shows a lot of humility for a guy that's kind of known for his ego. But, you know, we're losing so many legends. And again, I'm so incredibly grateful that I lived at the same time that Ozzy Osbourne did, so we get to see all this stuff happen. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti on X at Dogmatic670, A-W-G-M-A-T-I-C 67. Our great lists are on Spotify under that same handle. When I sent the Jackie Lee list in, Roy's like, dude, this reminds me so much of my high school years. I'm like, yeah, such great times. And the thing about those great Randy Rhoads, Jakey Lee tracks is they still hold up today. And they still hold up today. That's the thing about Ozzy's music. It's not tied to an era. It's just part of something bigger than the passing trend in music, which is why I think he remained one of the best-selling rock artists even later in his career. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. A place that has always been there when we've needed them. And what do we need them for? Well, in addition to getting a nice hug, which maybe that's just me, it's the best of Mississippi State merch. A lot of people make the claim that they have the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise. They are pretenders to the throne. Campus Bookmart rules supreme when it comes to that. Whether you're looking for Mississippi State apparel, gift ideas, or everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Every time I go in there, I wish I had more money on me, because I would just buy everything. I love going in there because there's always something new and unique that I don't have. And I always think, man, this would be the perfect thing for this little spot that I have in the office or in the living room. I want to rep the brand at all times, and you should too. Football season's going to be here, guys, in a month. Now's the time to start putting those orders in. Maybe you need the new polo. Maybe you need some new T-shirts, a hat. Maybe you can't make it to town before the season opener. So visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you Phrase That Pays. And that's BSR. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, a little bit of an announcement, too. A couple of appearances coming up. And let's see here. We will be, let's see here, next Thursday, August the 7th, I'm going to be in Carthage at the MSU alumni function. I'll be speaking down there. So if you're in that neck of the woods, come out 6 o'clock at Redbird Farms. And then Saturday, September 13th, I can write better than I speak sometimes. I will be once again a panelist at the Mississippi Book Festival. And let me tell you guys this. That is such an honor for me. And I've been multiple times. Enjoy being a panelist. It is one of those things that you never take for granted. To be invited to that prestigious event. And there was some miscommunication stuff. They couldn't get a hold of me for a while. I changed email addresses. And, you know, when that stuff's out there, like people don't update. You know, it's on my dot card and things like that. That said, reached out and they called me and they're like, hey, you know, we've been trying to reach you to see if we can get you to do the book festival. I'm like, well, of course. Well, it just so happens that's the same day as the Alcorn State game. However, the Alcorn State game is going to be at night. So we'll be there. 10:45 is a baseball panel. Jeff Robertson is going to be there. Wrote the baseball stories book. He and Chase Parham both were part of that. Rick Cleveland, I believe, is going to be the, I guess, the MC of the panel. And there's three of us. I can't remember the other guy's name, and I apologize, and I know of his work. We have been panelists before. But nevertheless, so incredibly honored to go back to the book festival. It's a great event. You know, it's so interesting. The first time I went was with Flim Flam, and Sid Salter was the head of the panel. And there was a joke going around because Salman Rushdie was like the lead author. Right, you know Salman Rushdie, the writer of the Satanic Verses, and there was a poll going around at whose life was more in jeopardy, mine or Salman Rushdie. You know, so nevertheless, I did see him. They would not let me get too close to him, but I did see him. So again, excited about that. It is such a great honor to be invited to be a panelist at that. And again, we'll get to work on our new book soon. I just didn't have it in me this year, knowing we had a baseball coaching search or expected the probability of a baseball coaching search. And I needed to give all of my effort to that endeavor. And with jeanspage.com, that always has to come first, the coverage of Mississippi State. The book stuff, while some people know me more from that, that's always going to be secondary. And I want to tell you guys about something else. And I was hesitant to talk about this today, but I feel like since we know each other, I'll share this with you. I've actually got a meeting tomorrow. I'm not going to drop any names, but you guys know we have talked about suicide prevention and the suicide hotline on this show many times. And in the last 18 months, I have been to 7 funerals of people that took their own lives. And many of those people were people that I know or knew very well. Others, I had people reach out and say, hey, it would mean a lot to these people if you showed up. One particular family, I won't even give you the location, but I didn't know them. But Dad had my books, listened to the show, and I had a mutual friend reach out and said, man, these people are absolutely devastated. And I felt an obligation to go. And I went and was so glad that I went and had a great time getting to know this family after the event and to learn about the life of this young man and the great things about him. Because sometimes those things get lost, right? We have an unspeakable tragedy, And sometimes that's the remembrance. But what I have been able to learn in the months following my initial meeting with these folks is what a great young man he was, which makes the loss even more significant. So here's what we're doing. And again, I'm not going to give you the names yet. I've got some commitments from some people, but until we all get together, and I'm not going to give you all the details, but here's what we're going to do. I'm going to come out of retirement. It's a one-off type thing, and we're going to cover a song that means a lot to me, and it was a song that really kind of hit the airwaves when my friend Chris Coker ended his life earlier this year. And I listened to this song basically on repeat. And Chris and I weren't especially close. However, one of his best friends, Clay, was in a band with me for a while. But anyway, to make a long story short, we're going to cover a song. And some names you know. I mean, I'm not talking about John Bon Jovi or anybody like that. But names you know, if you know the Mississippi music scene, you'll know these people. And so we're going to record a song and we're going to video it. And we need your help too. And so I'm putting out an earnest call, and you can hit me up on socials, and I'll do my best to keep up with it all. And I'll make my Facebook and Twitter and that kind of stuff. We'll keep you updated. But we're going to cover a song, and we're going to video it. We're going to push y'all out to socials, and we need a choir. And there's really no requirement to be a member of the choir. You don't need any musical ability. We just want to have a choir of people that have been impacted by suicide. Whether you are a suicide survivor or whether you're a person that has lost someone near to you, we want you to be a part of our choir. And this is a rock song, but it's kind of a softer version, but we want a choir. And we also are going to ask all of the members of our choir to bring like an 8x10 photo of their loved one. And we're going to attach it to like some, you know, some cardboard or construction paper or whatever, and put a string around it, and you'll wear it around your neck while you sing. And you'll be on video with a picture of your loved one, and we want to honor their memories, and we want to also honor your loss. And we want to grieve with you. I am sick and tired of losing people, and I know that you are too. So the only thing that I know to do is to love people and to promote awareness of the 988 number. And so it's all very much in the early developing planning stages, but it is something that we plan to do before the year is out. And we just want to have some fun with it, but at the same time too, it's an important cause. And it's not a vanity project by any stretch of the imagination. We've got some people, we want to use our platform, our collective platform, in an effort to help other people. And there are a lot of people out there that are hurting, and they don't have the words to tell us they're hurting. And a lot of times it's pride or it's ego or it's shame or the, you know, there are some people out there that have done some things that they have convinced themselves that are just so incredibly horrible they could never be forgiven, and they're wrong. And I can promise you this, even at your most unlovable phase in your life, there are people who still love you. And I tried to convince myself that that wasn't the case, that everybody off would be better off without me. And I tried to overdose, and but I survived. And I was very fortunate to be spared. And you see me these days, I'm like 6'2", 220, 215, depending on what I've had to eat that day. When I checked into rehab, I was 6'2", 146 pounds. And wanted to die. I was on a recovery podcast earlier, and the guy asked me, he said, what was like your most earnest prayer to God in the early stages of your recovery? And I said, I prayed to die, because I thought the road home was just going to be too long and too difficult. And there are a lot of people that feel that way, and I have felt that way, and maybe you feel that way. But I want people to know that they're not alone. So we're putting out an open call to anybody, and nobody's getting paid for this. Everybody's volunteering their time, and we're all going to get together. And, you know, we got to kind of get our legs under us first, me and the other musicians. And we're going to put together what we think could be a very meaningful performance And then record that and push out the socials to promote awareness of the suicide hotline. That's what we're doing. And I'm the kind of person, it's like I told Dana last night, I said, I got to put it out there. That way I'm totally committed to it. Because once I put it out there, there's no going back. And so I've been kicking this around for months, and I reached out to a couple musicians that I absolutely respect, and meeting with one of them Thursday. And we're going to get the ball rolling, and our plan is to maybe, you know, we'll get together a few times to kind of work through it, and then our plan is maybe to do this around one of Mississippi State's open dates on the football schedule. And so I share that with you because everybody that I have spoken to about this project has been enthusiastically in. Everybody's like, I am absolutely in, absolutely in. And I've had some other people that have reached out and said, hey, I hear you're kind of putting this thing together. We want to be involved. So rather than it kind of be like the click, right? I want all of you, because I don't know all your stories. And I don't know all your losses. But I want you to be a part of this if you choose to be. We don't know where we're going to record it yet. We don't know any of that stuff. We just know that we're going to do it. We're still working through the details. But this is the idea and the purpose, and my heart is truly in this. I've been rehearsing for weeks now, and hopefully at middle age I can still pull some things off. But the reality of it is it's been laid on my heart to do this, and I think it's important because there's so many people out there that are carrying a burden that we don't see, and maybe we see the result of the toil, of that labor, but we don't know the root cause of it. And sometimes people just don't feel comfortable talking to us. And so we want to provide them with the resources necessary to get help. Because if you're feeling that way, let me speak on behalf of everybody that loves you. Even though there have been times that we have been disappointed in you, we love you, and we want you to continue with us on this side of the grass. And you know what? If you're one of those people that feels like you've got nowhere else to turn, you call 988, and if you're not comfortable doing that, just hit me up on the DMs, man. I'm happy to talk. I'd much rather take your call or answer your DM, and you can test me on that, than go to your funeral. Absolutely truth. I have seen the devastation, and it has taken a toll on me too, but I will continue to go to stand for those families and offer any type of support that I can possibly offer. But I think it's important for us to come together as a people. And I don't care if you like me or not. If you don't subscribe to my website, I mean, you could think I'm the worst writer ever and that I needed to get a haircut or whatever and that I should wear long sleeve shirts all the time, cover up my tattoos. I don't care what you think about me, but this is a noble cause, and it's something that everybody that is involved believes in. And if you would like to partner with us, then this is an open call in that respect. All right. Now, kind of moving on here. Let's talk a little football recruiting stuff. We picked up a recommitment yesterday, Matt Mayfield, and you may recall him. You know, he was part of, kind of part of the deal, you know, a couple years ago as part of the 2024 class. He didn't have a senior year, if you remember, which is interesting, right? Well, he was part of a transfer group. He did not have the opportunity to play as a senior. Began his career at Terlings Catholic, ended up transferring to Beauchamp, and then to Opelousas, was going to move in with his mom, and you would think that would be enough reasoning to, you know, approve the transfer. However, there was a complaint filed, and the Louisiana High School Activities Association did an investigation, and they ruled that the transfer was athletically motivated. And so they did not allow him to play as a senior, which I had some people close to the situation tell me that was probably a great thing for Mississippi State because of the fact that he was an absolute athletic freak that had kind of gotten lost in the shuffle because of all the transfers in high school. Well, he commits to State. We ultimately don't sign him, and it's because of a scenario where he didn't qualify. And ended up going to Colin, played last year in 7 games, got a little bit banged up, but pretty productive year. He'll be a bigger part of things this year, but we re-offered him back on June the 10th. He committed again yesterday and will take his official visit to Mississippi State the weekend of November 28th. But this is an interesting take for us. But again, there has been a plan in place from the beginning. When it was apparent he wasn't going to qualify, it was kind of one of those, you know, follow for now type deals. It's like, okay, you go to JUCO, we'll stay in contact with you, and you do a good job down there, then there may be the possibility of you joining the program again. So he will have 3 years to play two, unless the court system decides otherwise, because if they decide those junior college years don't count against your eligibility, I have a tough time believing that that'll be the case. But you never know. You never know. There's been so many other things that have happened that don't make a lot of sense, but this could be one of them, and Mississippi State could benefit from that. It's so interesting, too. You know, we signed so many junior college guys last year, and you begin to think about that aspect of it. If this ruling comes down, there's only it's a TRO right now. But what if we have all these guys on campus that instead of them having 2 years of eligibility, they end up with four? You know, that's an interesting thing to consider, right? So, but that's let's not put the cart before the horse. But again, Matt Mayfield, now Bulldog, and unrated so far. I just had the opportunity yesterday to turn his profile over to make him a member of the 2026 class. So we'll give time for the evaluators to kind of get caught up here. But, you know, we loved him 2 years ago. We absolutely did. And didn't do well. Once it was apparent that we weren't going to be able to enroll him, we didn't do a whole lot of media coverage on him. And so maybe he kind of dropped from your radar, but he's back. And I can tell you, he was an absolute freak as a junior in high school. A freak. So great get. Bump wins again. There are also some other junior college players out there that we're watching. And we had told some of these guys, it's like, hey, we want to get into the season and maybe see the film of your first two or three ball games. But don't be surprised if we end up taking another junior college player before the season starts, maybe even two. So don't be surprised there. It's not going to be the wholesale thing like it was last year. A lot of people got upset not knowing the plan. Like, we had to rebuild depth, especially on defense. So we went out and hit the junior college ranks and got the best players we could possibly get and then saved some spots for the portal guys. So JUCO guys, many of them 2 years of eligibility left, portal guys 1 year left. And so you bring in basically juniors and seniors to help build out your two deep where you're a little bit soft. And then perhaps you have some continuity as these junior college guys perhaps stay on the two deep as seniors. So there was a plan in place, but a lot of people thought, hey, we should be saving these scholarships for the portal. Well, if we used all of them for the portal, then they'd all be gone. Just about all of them would be gone at season's end, and we would be even more dependent next year. So hopefully some of these junior college signees from last year will be good enough to be two deepers at the very least, and then we have some continuity with that. We've got to get off this hamster wheel thing, right, of constantly chasing the portal. Number one, it's extremely expensive, but also, two, you just aren't going to be in a situation where you can sustain any type of nucleus. The Isaac Smiths of the world are going to be a rarity these days, right? I mean, Isaac Smith is a unicorn, a guy that, number one, loves Mississippi State, a guy that is an incredible football player, and a guy that has been extremely loyal to the Bulldogs, and he has had multiple opportunities to leave in his career here. So you're not going to see a lot of that. And Bumpus kind of touched on that yesterday about you may have some single-season records that fall for schools, but the career records with the way the portal is, you're not going to have as much of that. It's going to be a rarity. There's going to be a lot of people out there that have these career records in multiple sports. Those records have a much better chance of lasting because guys just don't stay at the same school for 4 years very often anymore. And so something to kind of understand. But nevertheless, Mayfield now, in addition to this class, and traded some text messages with him last night. He's absolutely jacked. And said that it was an easy decision because Mississippi State stayed in contact with him. They didn't just go park him at Colin and then said, okay, we'll call you in 2 years. They maintained a relationship with him, maintained a, you know, kind of a progress report type rapport with him just to kind of see how he was doing academically and athletically. And now here we are. And he will be a guy that will be able to enroll in January and take part in spring practice. And again, this isn't a kid that we don't know. This is a guy that we have been recruiting for the better part of 2 years now, way back to the spring of 2023. That's when things kind of came together. And he got a late sniff or two from LSU, and then all the academic stuff kind of bubbled up. He just didn't take care of business. By his own admission, he kind of got off track a little bit, and he says, hey, now I'm back. And so this is a good thing for Mississippi State, and this is a big-bodied, very physical receiver. This is a guy that knows how to elevate too. And so I don't want people to think this is a scratch-and-dent kid. This is a guy that we wanted in the 2024 class. He just didn't take care of business, and now he has, and now he's got a second chance to be a Bulldog. But understand, there will be some more junior college commitments, not at the level of last year, but we would be foolish to completely ignore the fact that there are some very talented junior college players in the state of Mississippi. And there's some guys that are going to be D1 and sometimes SEC bounce backs, like Tony Mitchell was. We expect Tony to be a big part of our defense this year. So there is value in the junior college ranks, not as much value as there was before the portal, because used to those guys early on in their careers had to go to junior college to, again, facilitate a transfer somewhere without sitting out. And so now with the portal, you got a lot less guys bouncing through the junior college system. That doesn't mean they're not players in there that are capable of playing in the SEC. You may remember, you know, we chased some players last year that had offers from Alabama and Georgia and others. And so if it's good enough for Alabama and Georgia, it's certainly good enough for Mississippi State. So we'll continue to kind of work through that. But wanted to kind of get you up to speed on Matt, and again, this is a young man that is very, very grateful to Chad Bumpus and to Mississippi State for kind of hanging in there with him. You know, he's had some new schools come in and kind of inquire about him, but it was kind of understood that if he took care of business, that he would be at Mississippi State. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and you certainly should. Absolutely. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse is the best place to stay. We've stayed there. Yeah, and we stayed there for New Year's. We may do it again this year. Such a great experience. It's kind of tucked away, off the beaten path a little bit, very easy to get to, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Plenty of parking. It's the old renovated clubhouse at the old country club. Out past the Highlands, just turn off 182 like you're going to the Highlands and take that ride. Next thing you know, you're there. Only a couple neighbors out there, so plenty of peace and quiet. We'd like to keep it that way, right? We would. Want to respect our neighbors out there. But if you're looking for a great place with plenty of room for all of your friends or family, this is the way to go. Rather than go out and get five or six Airbnbs, go stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Six bedrooms, three baths, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area. And fires are great no matter what time of year it is. Sit out back and just kind of enjoy. Yeah, just being family. Super cool. Make some new memories with the people you love the most. Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests. And I can tell you the pictures don't do it justice. It's even better in person. We had some friends stay there. They loved it. It was a work group then. We've gone back and we've stayed there as a family. And we encourage you to do the same. Now, when you Google, some booking options come up too. That's Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. E-V-O-L-V-E, Evolve website. And use promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay. How cool is that? Just saving some money just by listening to the show. All right, we had that media availability for soccer, the first one of the new year. Of course, Mississippi State did the defending SEC champions. It'll be a different year this year. We lost several starters as their eligibility clocks ran out. And I believe six of our nine seniors are now playing professionally. Allie Perry had the chance to go pro, but elected to come back for her senior season. She spoke with us today, too. And a much more polished young lady, too. You know, she's an ambassador, a brand ambassador for True Rest, our float spa here in town, and we'll be floating again soon. But last year at times we'd interviewed Allie, and she almost seemed a little bit apologetic about being great. A lot more confident young lady this year. And Danny P. Smith at the start of the day turned to me after the interview and just said, wow. I said, I know, it's not even like the same person. And you need leadership from your stars. And I think sometimes last year, you know, that team had some big personalities. and maybe Allie didn't feel comfortable kind of leading. But I think that has changed. Very, very impressed with her today. And Nick Zimmerman, of course, new soccer coach. I joked with him. I said, well, you know, coming off the most historic season in school history, no pressure, right? And, you know, Zimmy's great. And a lot of passion, loves our fans, loves Starkville. As he mentioned, he met his wife here. And that's the thing about Mississippi, right? You get a good Mississippi girl, you tend to want to stay here. But the reality of it is we're getting ready to go defend a conference title. Now, we're not going to be picked to win it. We will have Wake Forest come to Starkville this year to complete a home-and-home deal. Of course, Wake Forest, the national runner-up last year, one of the few teams to beat Mississippi State last year in the regular season, one of the very few. So, again, excited about that, and we will have coverage of Mississippi State soccer throughout the year. It's one of those things we've decided to kind of add to our coverage responsibilities over at Mississippi State, jeanspage.com, and we get more hits than the healthstate.com. Well, they wish they could get what we had. But all that understood, excited for a new year on the pitch, and we had so many great fans last year. Turnout. Now, August the 2nd, this Saturday, we'll have an exhibition against Mercer. And so you kind of get your first look at the Bulldogs, if you so desire. That'll be fun. And then we get Louisiana Monroe at Monroe, August the 9th. And then we'll get underway the season opener, Thursday, August the 14th, 6:30 at the Mississippi State Soccer Complex. So, you know, a lot of people don't even really acknowledge soccer during the summer months. You know, we're going to play a lot leading up to football season. And then, things kind of begin to change a little bit, start getting a little more coverage when we get into SEC play. But the reality of it is there's a lot of people that didn't understand how much fun it was last year. And then they went to a game. And you can see, those of you that went last year and had record crowds, it's a lot of fun. And it's a family-friendly environment, too. And you can even bring your dog. Yeah, how cool is that? So be thinking about that as we get ready. So if you're looking for some weekend entertainment, you can find something to cheer for on campus at 2 p.m. this Saturday as the Bulldogs get ready to kind of get things rolling. I'm excited. I am. I'm very excited about that, and you should be as well. A lot about to happen for us, School classes begin August the 20th, so we're, 3 weeks away from the beginning of classes. If you haven't paid your fees, I think you have until Friday to pay them. So let's get that taken care of. And mom and dad, maybe, your kid maybe hasn't prepared you for that sort of stuff. That's what we're here to do, is to provide a service, to ensure that you're apprised of what's happening in your students' lives. But yeah, it's a fun time of year because, like, everybody is optimistic, right? Even our fans right now, there's so many people ask me, Steve, what do you think's realistic? I think we can get to 6, as I mentioned on the last show, but we're going to need some help along the way. We're not a team, obviously, that is picked to be in a bowl game, and I'm not ready to accept that. I'm a little more optimistic than most, but I believe this is one of those years, too, where it could be a defining year, obviously, in our program, but certainly in the Jeff Lebby era. I can tell you there is a bit of an air of optimism, and I think a lot of it is because of the influx of portal players. We did have some big recruiting wins in the portal, and again, I think about guys like Will Whitson, right? That's a young man that we had a lot of people chasing, and we were able to get him. We didn't get everybody we wanted. But we did get some players that I think are of note. And that defensive front, that offensive line, you've got to be good in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And we have certainly upgraded our level of talent there. At least we believe we have. And we'll see now if we can kind of form these guys in a cohesive unit. And again, the D-line should be ahead of the offensive line because they've had the benefit of the spring of playing together. We added Colin Coates a little bit later in the process in the spring portal. But a lot of new bodies on the offensive line. And again, Luke Work is back. Jimothy Lewis is back. Cannon Boone, Albert Reese. And so, there is a nucleus of good returners. But we brought in some competition. that should make those guys better, but also to kind of fill in some gaps and then fill out that two deep. But I like where we are, and I like what you know, what our prospects could be there. Because how many times last year did we just say we just simply couldn't stop the run? We just did not have the personnel to get in there and fit a gap and make the line of scrimmage move. You know, we were getting blown off the ball over and over and over again. And that Tennessee game and the Arkansas games are ones that kind of stand out to me as games that we struggled in. And you go back and think about that Ole Miss game, you know, we were right there, nip and tuck with them all the way through. They get the big touchdown from Ulysses Reese, a guy that their fans were just kind of clamoring for him to play more, and he kind of made Lane Kiffin look a little foolish with that big touchdown run, which proved to be kind of a defining moment in that game. You know, it truly did. But by and large, we did a pretty good job against the run, and of course, they needed to salt the game away late, and we were a little bit fatigued. But, you know, we've taken the steps to try to correct all of that, and my hope is that our Bulldog fans will turn out and be supportive of this team. That's one of the things that I love about our fan base. We do have some fans that are just going to be with us kind of through it all. And it's one of those things. And you look back and say, you know what, I was there, you know. And I remember one of the most memorable games to me in recent memory was back in 2016. And everybody had given up on this team. And we had that 11 a.m. kick against Texas A&M. And there might have been 20,000 people there. Might have been 20,000 people there. Maybe. And we beat them. The number four team in the FBS playoff, and we beat them. You never know when the Maroon Magic is going to happen. So we encourage you to turn out. And again, season tickets still on sale. If you can't afford to make that type of commitment, you can get the Flex Pack, the Mini Pack, or just a single game ticket. There's so many people out there that just, you know, it's such a commitment to make it to a game, right? And so coming to one game is so significant. And let me remind you, and I've kind of gotten away from this, don't ever be too good to pack the car and bring the kids. And I know sometimes it can be a bit of an inconvenience. I get it. But as a young man, they got to come to about one game a year. And some years we didn't get to come to a game. And then you look at what my life became, right? I could cover everything now. But the reality of it is those memories made with my dad, you know, packing the car, and I remember the level of excitement riding in the car, going to Veterans Memorial Stadium, coming to Starkville. What a treat that was. And it meant so much to me that my dad made the effort to share those moments with me. And of course, my first game was November 1st, 1980, and I see Mississippi State beat number one Alabama. You know, and so you never know when something significant like that may happen. And John Bond became one of my heroes that day. And to this day, it means a lot to me that I have John Bond's phone number and I can call on him whenever I need to for a quote or for an interview. Of course, I wrote a chapter about him in one of my books. And it's just incredible how life turns out. And so you may make a difference in your own child's life by making the decision to come attend a Mississippi State sporting event, because those memories last a lifetime. You know, we didn't get the benefit of a lot of TV back then. It was a big deal when we did. I know it's easier to stay home, but there's nothing like being there. And honestly, if you are a longtime Bulldog fan, you're going to owe it to yourself to be here for that Arizona State game when we unveil the LED lights and you see Davis Wade Stadium in a light you've never seen before. We'll have a lot more, you know, promotion kind of coming up. And I want to go ahead and commend the football content team. I mean, we're not even into camp yet, and we're starting to see some really good content. And that was one of the things last year. It really felt like, you know, we wanted to provide some juice and some hype and things like that and remind people football season's coming, promote a level of excitement. We didn't do a good job with it. We didn't. The group this year doing a much better job than the group last year did. And, again, I don't blame the rank-and-file employees who were part of that group, some of them better than others, but it was just bad leadership. You know, we just did not have good leadership, and I believe we do now. I believe we do because at the end of the day, the proof's in the pudding, right? You're getting good content. You're getting some things out there to kind of remind you football season is coming. And if I remember correctly, I'd have to go back and double-check. I think the first week of camp last year, we had two tweets. I think that's right, two tweets. And you're already beginning to see that. We're not even in camp yet. And so tip of the cap to that group, some very dedicated individuals. And again, not to cast aspersions at everybody involved with that last group, because there were some good people. They just didn't have, you know, good leadership. And I've said that a couple times before on the show, because I don't want to paint with such a broad brush, because I know we had some lifelong Bulldogs that it was like a dream job for them, and they kind of got caught up in the turnover, because, you know, a group is only as good as their leadership, right? And that's true in every organization. And unfortunately, some people that they love Mississippi State were kind of caught up in that too. But all that understood, we've moved forward, and Mississippi State appears to have found some very talented individuals to kind of help get some proper messaging out there. And so we're very grateful for their efforts in that respect. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com, and you can get signed copies of all of my sports books. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and The Dude, of course. And The Dude, Duty, and I will be going to the Mississippi Book Festival. How cool is that? Super cool, man. Super, super cool. And also the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls, which if you're a person that is likes an underdog story, or perhaps you're a person that has suffered with chemical dependency, or you know somebody that has, or maybe you just need something cool to read, I'd recommend that book. You can get signed copies there at dutynoblebook.com. Come float with us over at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana, at 662-268-7601. And I guess I'll let the cat out of the bag. We're going to be offering 75% off an annual subscription to Jeans Page. It's a network promotion, and we've opted in for that. So 75% off the annual subscription. And of course, that's kind of coinciding with the opening of fall football camp or preseason camp, whatever you choose to call it. Nobody does it better than us, and we're going to give it to you at a completely discounted rate, the best deal we've ever offered. Come be a part of our growing family at jeanspage.com, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. Hey, until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.